Hello and welcome. You are listening to the teaching ministry of Coastal Oaks Church in Rockport, Texas. It is our hope that you will be encouraged and that your desire to follow Jesus Christ will be challenged and strengthened as you listen to this podcast. For more information on location, service times, and what to expect on your next visit, go to coastaloakschurch.org. Now, grab your Bible and study along with us as you listen.
I invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. You know, a wise pastor would just give an invitation right now. But Philippians chapter 3, we're continuing the study of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, a church that he had in his heart. He's passionate about his relationship with them. He's passionate about partnering with them in the gospel. And in this section of scripture, he gives some statements about how we as followers of Christ can grow in spiritual maturity. He makes a statement that he hasn't already arrived, but he's pressing on. So some very powerful, memorable verses in this section of scripture. But let's follow. You'll follow along as I read aloud and beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul had said earlier about all of the things that he could place his confidence in and said he's placing his confidence in Christ. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. There are about 10 really good sermons here. I could fill up that outline page, but we're just going to look at one today and talk about what some practical ways that we can grow into spiritual maturity. I think the first one is the most important one. Number one, humbly acknowledge that we have not arrived yet, okay? Humbly acknowledge that we have not arrived. Paul says it so clearly after he talks about his pedigree as a Pharisee and a Hebrew of Hebrews and having this understanding of the law and being blameless and all those things. He said he could have placed his faith and trust in, but instead he says, I'm not going to trust in those things. I could, but I don't. I have not reached that goal. I am not fully mature. So he humbly says, not that I've already reached the goal, I am not fully mature in verse 12. And then he goes on to say, I consider myself not to have taken hold of it. And then he goes on in the end of verse 13 to say, I'm reaching forward to what is ahead. Paul understood that he had to be humble, even though he could say, I've got it all together. Most of the New Testament is written by Paul. He could say, I'm the best theologian that's ever lived. Some have said he may have been the best proclaimer, the best preacher who's ever lived. He could have made a big deal about himself, but he says, I am still striving. I haven't arrived yet. I love what someone said. They said, leadership is not lordship. There's a difference. It's about following Jesus. It's as Paul did. He says, I'm going to come alongside you, and I'm going to walk the Christian walk. I'm going to live the Christian life as we are on this journey together. That's what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi. He has not already arrived. I was thinking back in my days at Southwestern Seminary and how you'd get in these classes and then after class go to the coffee shop or sit in the library, and how intelligent all those seminary students were. They debated theology. They were brilliant. And you would sit down with some of those guys and feel like they think they have all the answers. And I would just quietly listen to them and think one of these days they're going to realize they don't have all the answers. I would just wish that they could have gotten an injection of what Paul says here. I haven't arrived yet. I am not fully mature. I have not obtained the goal of the prize in Christ Jesus. Humility is an important characteristic that we need to have as we walk with Christ. So no matter where you are, however long you've walked with the Lord, however long you've known him as your Savior, you need to humbly acknowledge, I have not yet arrived. That's an important attitude. Secondly, I believe Paul would have us do this, passionately pursue a deeper walk with Christ, because that's what he's doing. Passionately pursue a deeper walk with Christ. Look back with me at verse 12 and 13. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. In verse 12, Paul says, I make every effort to take hold of it. Then he says, this one thing I do in verse 13, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. He is stating, I am pursuing this goal of spiritual maturity. Again, you would say, Paul should be mature already, but he's saying, I'm pressing toward that goal of a deeper walk with Christ. And in order to do that, several things I'd like to highlight. First of all, we will have to be disciplined. If we're going to, like Paul, if we're going to strive to reach that goal of spiritual maturity, to grow and be more Christ-like, to have a deeper walk with him, we will have to be disciplined. Listen, to live the Christian life, you're going to have to be passionate about it. Someone said it's a race, it's not just a stroll. It's something that you have to be fully, completely committed to. I love that statement in verse 12 there. I make every effort. Paul says, he's saying here, every part of his being is striving to be more like Christ. Not that he can make himself more like Christ, because he's just going to have to yield himself to Christ, but he's striving to that place of spiritual maturity. In a couple of other places in Scripture, Paul mentions this need for discipline. And if you could just hold that place, but look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 27 and listen to Paul's. We've looked at this recently. Paul's description of being disciplined in the Christian life. In verse 24 in chapter 9, he says this. Do you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control and everything. That's discipline. However, they do not receive a crown that will... They do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we a crown that will never fade. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that preaching after preaching to others, I myself might not be disqualified. Now, Paul's using that disqualified just in the analogy there of running the race, that when he gets to the end of the race, he doesn't want to be like the runner who did something wrong, who didn't compete with the right according to the rules. He says, I'm going to make every effort to discipline myself to run in such a way to win the prize. And Paul says in the context of his analogy there, when you're running the Olympics or whatever those races, they'd get a crown of leaves that they would put on their head, and it's going to fade away, it's going to die. But he says, the believer, we're in a spiritual race. We're going to have a crown that never fades away. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, go more toward the back of your Bible to the book of Hebrews, if I can find it. It's on page 1208, verse 1. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about this Christian life. He says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, or the completer of our faith, and completion, perfection, that's maturity. Who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. Run in such a way to win. Lay aside everything that's going to hinder you, that's going to get in the way. Someone said following Jesus can't be done in a sprint. It's a marathon, like they told us after Harvey. You're not going to get over this thing with a sprint. It's going to be a long-term marathon. That's what Paul is saying. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying to us. Someone said you can't live life at warp speed. I think it was Lance Witt. Live life at warp speed because you're going to end up with a warped soul. You have to say, Lord, I'm in this for the long haul. I don't want to be the one that they light the candle and it burns out. I want to be the slow burn that goes to the end. Disciplined. It's interesting. The writer of Hebrews here says lay aside every weight. Whatever it is that inhibits you from living the Christian life, he's saying lay it aside. It might be habit, it might be relationship, it might be an attitude. Lay it aside so that you can run and run to win. So number one, This passionate pursuit means we're going to have to be disciplined. But secondly, we're going to have to forget some things. Back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brothers, not that I consider myself to have taken hold of it. Again, there's his humility. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Let's just talk about that right there. Forgetting what is behind. We're going to have to forget some things. First of all, forget past failures. As I thought about what is Paul saying we need to forget, we've got to, I think, two things. Forget our past failures. Not letting the past determine our future. To think about your past mistakes, your past sins, and say those are not going to determine my future, the course of my life. I don't want to say that you don't have to deal with sin. You need to deal with sin. When God speaks to your heart and convicts you of sin, you need to confess it to him, repent, and then move on. So we're not saying make light of sin and past failures. We're saying deal with those. But once you do, receive his forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Micah 7:19 says that he takes our sins and casts it into the deepest sea. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, our sin as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our sin from us. So once you confess it, once you repent of it, that means you turn from it, whatever that sin is, receive God's cleansing and forgiveness, then move on. Don't listen to the enemy who would like to accuse. He condemns. That's what Satan does. He's the accuser. Someone told me years ago that, and it's really been a good help to me, that Satan always condemns and accuses in generalities. Christ will always convict in specifics. What Satan does is he accuses you and there's nothing you can do about it. He'll say stuff like, you're a lousy mom. And you hear that voice. You're a terrible dad. What can you do about that except feel accused? Jesus will say something like this. When you lost your temper and you yelled at your kids, there was hurt there. You need to deal with that. He might say to you, Dad, you haven't spent time with your kids like you need to. You need to make them a priority. You can deal with those, see? So God's Holy Spirit speaks in specifics. Satan accuses in generality. So when you come before God as a follower of Christ, you've confessed your sins, believe that he's forgiven you, repent, turn from it, and stop listening to the enemy. Paul says, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. There's a story that's told, it's been around for years, of Robert E. Lee. He was traveling through the South after the Civil War and came upon a plantation, and a lady was standing out there, and she called him over and showed this tree in her yard, and it had been battered and beaten by the Union artillery, just had pretty much taken most of the tree away. And she kept complaining, and she wanted Robert E. Lee, the former general, to give her some sympathy and feel for her. And he said, Madam, cut it down and forget it. When the enemy reminds you of the past, you just need to cut it down and forget it. Paul says, I want us to forget the things that are in the past. Let's do that. And then secondly, those failures, he wants us to forget our past achievements, I believe. The context says Paul had lots of past achievements. We went through that list a couple of weeks ago and then last week. Those things that we're not to place our confidence in, past achievements. Here's the tendency with past achievements. You tend to let those achievements cause you just to rest and take it easy and coast. Say, man, I've had a victorious life. I've had these things I've accomplished, and now I'm just going to chill. Paul says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep pressing on, and I'm not going to let my past achievements, my past victories, create a sense of complacency in my life. Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. If you remember that movie, he's in midlife, and he's riding around in a van, and he sets up his video camera. It's a big camera because you can tell it's old. Sets it up on a tripod, and he's throwing that football into that video camera to relive his high school football days. And he just every time he throws that ball, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it's going to be. And he's stuck in the past. He's thinking about the glory days of high school football, and he's middle-aged, and it's kind of a picture of, don't do that. Don't be Uncle Rico. Don't cling to what happened in the past, your past achievements. Move on. Grow up. Forget some things. It's appropriate. To pursue a deeper walk with Christ, we have to be disciplined. We have to forget some things. And thirdly, we have to reach for it. We've got to reach for it. What is it? I would just define the it as a deeper walk, a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. I've got to reach for it. Verse 12, Paul says, not that I have already reached the goal or that I'm already fully mature. I consider myself not to have taken hold of it, but I reach forward, verse 13, to what is ahead. Reaching. I love what Bob Goff says. He says, whatever you're aiming for, Jesus is better. Whatever you're reaching for, fill in the blank. Material things, possessions, perfection in this life, a comfortable life. All your ducks in a row. Whatever it is, Jesus is better. Here's what Paul says, reach for Jesus. I'm going to reach for what is ahead. Reach for it. Say, well, I'm not as spiritually mature as I think I should be. Reach for it. I'm not growing like I think I should. Reach for it. I'm stuck in the past. Forget the past. Reach for it. Go for it. What does Nike say? Or they used to say, just do it, right? And lastly, to pursue a deeper walk with Christ, we will have to make a change. It's not going to happen by just being here, just sitting and listening. Great sermon, Pastor. Good word. Goodbye. I'll see you next week for another good sermon and a good word and another goodbye. We have to make a change. Again, in verse 13, this one thing I do, one thing, I'm going to make a change. Whatever that one thing is, make a change. When Cameron was a little boy, my son, he got a turtle. He was fascinated by turtles in that period of his life, and we got one of those little aquariums and put a turtle in it. I was tucking him in one night. He's a little guy. And we're laying there in bed, and we either read our Bible story or we're about to. He's just sitting there looking at his room like this. I said, son, what do you think? He said, Daddy said, it's amazing how one turtle can change my whole room. He was a deep thinker when he was little. It's a different room because he had that turtle there. See, one thing can make a difference. What one thing changed in your life, one baby step can make an incredible difference. And you can step back and look at your life and say, it's amazing what that one thing has done to change my room, to change my life. What one thing do you need to do to make a difference in your life? What one habit do you need to say, I'm done? What one besetting sin do you need to say, I'm going to receive God's forgiveness and repent of it? What relationship might need to change? What attitude, what practice? One change could make a difference. Paul says, this is the one thing I'm doing. I'm going to passionately pursue Christ. And what I'm trying to do is take what he says and give us some practical, hands-on how we can do that. The writer of Hebrews says you're running a race. Lay aside everything that's going to hinder you. Make that your one thing today before you leave. I'm going to lay that aside. Wherever you're stuck, y'all ever get stuck? I get stuck. Whatever that is that has you stuck, just say, Lord, today I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to lay it aside. Like a runner who says, I'm going to discard everything that's going to make me slow, and I'm going to run. Make a change. Humbly acknowledge we haven't arrived. Passionately pursue a deeper walk. Number three, never lose the wonder of the gospel. Never lose the wonder of the gospel. When Paul says in verse 12, I also have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. And then he mentions in verse 14, the God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Just think about that. Let that one simmer. I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Taken hold of. I used to have a secretary that she would sign all her notes in the grip of his grace. Boy, what a great reminder. That's where you are. In the grip of his grace. Don't lose the wonder of that. Stay focused on the central truth of the gospel, that Jesus, God's one and only Son, gave his life on a cross to pay the price for your sins. He died and was buried, and he rose again and accomplished everything he said he would so that you could have eternal life. That's the gospel. Let that be the focus. Let that be something that amazes you, that causes you to be amazed at the wonder of the gospel. I've shared this recently, but whenever you see a sunrise or a sunset or a wave or a flower or whatever it is that you just say, wow, what a great creator God is. Just remember that he's created you. And he has a relationship with you. And if you're a follower of Christ, he lives within you. Don't lose that. That ought to be wow every time you think about it. I've prayed over the years, Lord, don't let me forget what it was like to be separated from you. Don't let me forget what it was like to be lost before I knew you. Because once you come to know Christ and you walk with him for a while and you hang out with other people that walk with him for a while, you kind of forget how desperate you were. And I pray, Lord, don't let me forget that. I don't ever want to lose the wonder that the creator of the universe sent his one and only son who created the universe to give his life on a cross to come and live within me in the person of his Holy Spirit. Wow. You want to grow in maturity? Don't get over that. Don't get over it. I don't want to get over it. Lastly, number four. Well, it isn't lastly, but it's number four. Follow faithful examples. In verse 15 through verse 19, Paul mentions, just focus on verse 17, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. All through Philippians, Paul is calling people to follow examples. The example of Epaphroditus, the example of Timothy, the example of Paul. He's calling people to follow those who follow Christ. Look for models of godly men, guys. Someone you can respect and you can say, I want to model my life after that guy. Ladies, look for a godly woman you can respect. If you're a young mother, look for a godly woman who's raised her kids and look at that as your model. Look for those models. Ask God to put people in your life who've been captured by the wonder of the gospel. Not just somebody who has all the answers or who is very informed biblically, but somebody who is passionate about following Jesus. Find that person and follow their example. I love the story about Keith Green, one of my favorite Christian writers and singers, when he was wanting to grow and he was captured by the fact that he just wanted to know God in a deeper way. He started looking for people, and he heard about Leonard Ravenhill, who was a British evangelist who was passionate for Christ, and he went and knocked on Ravenhill's door and just basically said, I want to know you because I want to know how to walk with Christ like you walk with Christ, or some words to that effect. He sought out people who had a passionate relationship with Christ. And Ravenhill shared how Keith Green would just show up at his house week after week wanting more. He said he's like a sponge, wanting to know that passion of knowing Christ. Look for somebody like that. Follow their example. If you've walked with Christ for a while, be that example. Be that person that one of these teenagers will walk up to you and say, I want to know what it is to really walk with Christ. I want to know how it is that you can be that passionate about something. Be that kind of person. In verse 18 and 19, he talks about those that are focused on earthly things. Don't follow them, he's saying. Follow those people whose mindset is on Christ. Faithful examples. One of my favorite examples in the Bible is Caleb. Remember the story in the Old Testament? He was one of the two spies who said, we can take possession of the land, and the majority report overruled them. And so he spent that 40 years in the wilderness, and then at age 85, he said, give me the land, give me the hill country, I want to take it. I want to be like that guy. I want to follow people like that. I want to be that person. I want to be that person who people come up to me and say, not just I want to know about the Bible. You can get that on the internet now, right? But I want to know how to walk with Jesus. Now, lastly, live in light of our true citizenship. Boy, there's so much I could say here. I just want to highlight that in verse 20. Don't be like those people focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await that. Tony Meredith tells a story about a family member who had undergone a crisis in her life. I think there was a death in the family. And he texted her to share his sympathy. And this is what she texted back to him. Thanks for the sympathy. But this is what she said. The tomb is empty. The rest is small stuff. Isn't that good? No matter what you go through, Jesus rose from the grave. He lives within us. The rest is just small stuff. Francis Chan does this illustration where he takes a rope, and it's a long rope that could wrap around the worship center. I think it goes all the way back there. And he says, I want you to look at this rope. And it, just imagine it's endless. He says, imagine it could wrap all the way around the world. Just imagine it's an endless rope. And it represents your life. Then he has at the end of that rope about this much, maybe an inch, it's red. And he has this whole rope on the stage. You go back there and he says, I want you to know that red right there represents your life on earth. And he uses the illustration to say, don't be focused on attaining things in that red part because the rest is what's going to be real eternity. But I'd like to use it to remind us that we need to be kingdom focused. I need to live my life as a citizen of heaven, a citizen of that, the rest of that rope that's endless, and not focused on that one little red inch that I've got. I want to invest my life in following Christ, in passionately pursuing Him, because that's what eternity is all about. Let's pray together.